Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Right, good, that's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
I'll just have to tell them I'm not a thief, just a pervert.
It's about fucking time someone else is.
Ego! Showtime!
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. There ain't no funny duddies that'll link it bad. For the stream link, go direct to dlngs.org. And ICChannelAnalytics.net. Bound tech show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1001 of the LinkSync Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
Rolling it over, baby.
We have Jolie Roly. Okay, well, he's there, but I don't know what's going on with his mic. We have Joe.
You were right about when he'd show up.
Yeah, there we go.
Whoa, yes.
And
feeling much better now.
Do you get it working the right way?
After your inspection?
Is it extruding instead of intaking?
No, it was coming out both ends last Wednesday.
Ah, double ender, huh?
Unfortunately, yeah. Mostly the bottom end, not the top end. But
better than Joel, or better than Dan and Pat talking about trying to give it to me at both ends.
But that was all Dan.
That was a knuckle sandwich. I don't know what kind of perversion
you were talking about. Double fisting me.
Okay, this is going in a weird place.
Oh,
so I guess he was inspired by your colonoscopy.
Yeah, you missed episode 1000.
It felt like I was
having
sex. I know. I'm sorry, but you know,
Alan
body
cried.
Said no moss. Alan wasn't even on. Come on.
Yes, he was.
Wow.
Alan was here, and Manfry was here, and Murph was here.
Murph is here today too.
Yeah, but he's not. He's in the listening.
Being a talk.
Murph talked last week. It was an extravaganza.
Awesome.
It was an all-you-can-eat buffet of Murph.
And I found out that Square D didn't give me a bogus load center for my house. Because we got an email from the builder that said that we should call them about that. So they sent out a con.
What are you talking about?
We got, there was a recall for the load center that they put in our house, the breaker box essentially, where there was like a loose wire and nothing really bad happened. They just had a recall, so they said we'll send out an electrician to check it out for nothing, and that's what they did.
So it's all good.
Yeah. Yep. And I got brand new printer out there.
Your brand new, just upgraded 3D printer?
I didn't upgrade anything yet. Don't need to, because it's got everything. It has me considering maybe looking at the rest of it for the other one. My old one. But, you know, we'll talk about that in the show. Unless we're over
we're in the show.
We're on the show, okay. Man. So go ahead and fire away since you weren't here last week.
Yep. Finally got my birthday present. Last week.
And just so everybody knows, we're not talking about the other 3D printer. We're talking about the CR10.
The CR10 Smart Pro, which this has a direct drive. It has the what's Creality's direct drive? I'm trying to remember. I think it's a Stinger. I'll look that up while I'm talking about it. So that's the direct drive that it has. It has the CR Touch, which is basically Creality's version of the BL Touch for auto bed leveling. It has essentially took the board out of the Creality Wi-Fi box, and that's put into the machine as well. So I have the ability to start prints from an app without having to do Octoprint setup.
Oh, that little external box that they have?
Yes. It's essentially the same exact thing. And you can slice from the app and start and send the print to the app. It also came with a 1080p webcam that you just plug directly into the printer.
I've heard complaints about it.
I have no complaints. The only complaint I have is they sent you this little tiny tripod, and they don't really provide a great setup document on, well, they probably do, I just probably haven't read it yet, but on where you can place it so you can see the bed all the time. So you got to kind of toy with that yet. I had another tripod hanging around the house, so I put the camera on that, because I can set it up a little higher. Eventually, I think what I need to do is I need to rearrange the table I have the printers on, because the CR10 Smart Pro is a beast. It's 300 millimeters by 300 millimeters, and the Z-axis is 400 millimeters tall. It has Creality's flexible metal print bed, the magnetic one. The one thing I haven't tried with that yet is the default surface has like a kind of a texture to it.
Did it also come with the glass?
It did not come with glass. But I have a theory. I looked at the other side of it.
You have a theory? It must be bunnies?
No. My other theory is that if I flip it over, see what kind of finish I get on a print when I print on top of that instead. Be the same thickness, so I wouldn't have to change too much. But I have yet to have a print out and out fail, except for one time I'm printing these like little drawers and these modular cube things that I put stuff on my desk. And one of them, the corner warped up a little bit, so I threw a brim on it the next try.
What material?
But I was still seeing a little bit of an issue with warp. Yeah, PLA. So I still saw a little bit of an issue with it curling up, so I stopped the print midway. And then I ran the auto level sequence again, and then it printed perfectly. So that's what auto leveling does for you. I haven't used hairspray on this at all. So it hasn't needed it at all for any of the prints I've done on it so far.
Well, the only thing you should make sure you use it for is PETG.
I actually bought when I bought the printer, I bought a roll of purple PLA, PLA plus technically, and a roll of red PETG. So.
You want something between your surface and the PETG. Otherwise, you're going to destroy your surface.
Even with the flexible bed?
Even with the flexible bed.
Okay. I might try a glue stick on that then. It might be a little cleaner than a hairspray. Right.
It all cleans up the same way with isopropyl.
Right. That might be a case for me wanting to flip it onto the backside, possibly.
The smooth side.
Yeah, because it's. I did actually put a little bit on it once, but I cleaned it off and haven't put any more on it, and I found it was a little bit hard to clean it off.
Yeah.
But with the texture on it, but.
Well, your surface will actually last longer if you're just printing PLA and you don't use hairspray or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're using PETG, you really need something between the two, because I've seen PETG destroy glass.
Well, this isn't glass. This is a flexible metal, but yeah.
It tears off the coating on the top of the glass.
And okay.
I've also seen images, I haven't ever done it in person, of those flexible ones getting torn apart by PETG.
Interesting. Okay. I'll be on the lookout for that. One thing I did notice, not with this one, but with the new Prusa Mark IV, is they're offering different textures on their flexible beds. You can buy multiple beds that will have different textures on it. One's a smooth one, so on and so forth. So it'd be kind of interesting if Creality would start doing that, but because those aren't expensive, but...
I was printing with Pet G for a good chunk of the week, and then I needed to print something that had a lot of supports and thin surfaces, and with Pet G, that is kind of disastrous because the supports stuck on longer are stuck on harder than the surfaces, which, you know, freaking snapped.
Yeah.
Yep. I had to switch over to or back to PLA, but then I had gotten a spool of PLA from Elegoo, and the stuff would just not print at all. And I have my dryer. I tossed it in my dryer, and it's got a sensor on it, and it said that the humidity level or the saturation level was like 54%, and it's recommended to print at around 10%. I've run the dryer twice, and it's currently sitting at 26%, which is still a whole lot better than like 54% that it was at. So,
interesting.
I will give that stuff another try, but I don't think I'm going to buy from Elegoo again.
Yeah, there's certain companies I won't buy from. Inland has been a go-to for me. That's Microcenter's brand. I've had really, really good luck with pretty much every roll from Inland.
Yeah, I've had good luck with Inland. I've had good luck with Sunlu.
Yes. I forget who does. The one thing I haven't tried in the new one is some of those glow-in-the-dark ones, but that's okay. I probably will this coming holiday season, because that's one of the things I was trying to print.
Stick to the PLA when it comes to the glow-in-the-dark.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, because it's already going to cause enough trouble with your hot end. No reason to add the complications of PETG or ABS to that.
Yep. And speaking of ABS, this will print, it's an all-metal hot end, so it will print ABS, it will print ASA, it will print nylon. I don't know if I'm going to try any of those without having to build a enclosure, yeah. Because especially the nylon or the ABS, well, I don't want to print ABS unless I have to. ABS smells.
I have a bunch of ABS. It's basically I'm down to the ABS, but I don't have an enclosure that will fit on this right now.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I'd probably have to buy another table to fit an enclosure and the printers on top. So, or one alternative I thought was I could go get a piece of plywood and screw it to the tabletop to make a bigger one, if you know what I mean. Now that's a little ghetto, but you know, but I don't have any plans to print ASA or nylon or ABS at this point. So I do want to try printing. I want to see if I can get a roll of NinjaFlex and see if I can print with that. It should be able to be in a direct drive. I have not had one clog since I've gotten the new one. So I'm very, very happy with the direct drive.
Well, if I can make one more suggestion, switch to 0.6 millimeter hole instead of the 0.4, and you'll go longer without a clog. But then you also need to use Cura's Arachne slicer.
Right.
For the thin walls.
I'm on 5.3 right now. Which, that's a confusing thing, too, because I started to watch some older Barnacle's Nerdgasm print videos that he's done. And he's like, I'm using Cura 14 point blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that must have been the old numbering system they had on it before. I forget what version, because it was 4 something and then 5 something. You know, we're 5.31, I think, is what I'm on right now. For Cura. I did try.
My version Trusa. Of. Because I'm using the beta version for the Arachne, it actually is based on an older.
Yeah, it's 4 something, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm looking. see if I can find it. It just says version Arachne Engine Beta 2, but I know it's based on an older framework, so. Sure, which one?
Another thing I would
say it doesn't.
You brought up in your filament dryer. I finally got one of those too because I got some Good Boy points from work, and so that got me enough Amazon gift cards. I bought the Sunlu. I think it's the version 2 of the filament driver, the one with the big fat LCD on the front. I haven't actually printed anything that I've had in it yet. I probably will when the current roll of blue filament that I have on it. I'm probably not going to put this transparent stuff in the new one because it was really brittle before. So yeah.
That's part of my problem. The brittle print that I had with PETG was that it was transparent. Mm-hmm. So it was, but before I put that PETG in the dryer, it wouldn't freaking print at all. It was failed print. Every time, crackling and popping, not extruding. And yeah, or we get partway through a print and just stop extruding. But then after a couple of times in the dryer, it started at least finishing prints. So.
Yeah, it did. The new one did take a little setup because right out of the box, it had the Z offset way off. So I had to go in, get the sheet of paper and mess with that and keep lowering the offset until I got it to drag across the paper, right? And now it's been dead reliable. So, I mean, yeah. I can't recommend. The only thing I would say is why would you go for one of the cheaper, like an Ender 3 instead of something like this? I do believe there is merit in learning a printer that
does. How much was the CR10?
$489 at Micro Center, I think it was.
So it's basically double the price of the Ender 3.
Yeah. Yeah. So, if you're planning on spending as much as I did on a printer, this one is a very good one to go for. But there's also merit in learning on the Ender 3 first. Because I think that, if you just utterly rely on the auto leveling and things of that nature, when there is a failure that the auto leveling can't correct, you won't know how to correct it.
Right, and you can get especially like with the V2, the board is set up to take the BL Touch.
Right,
and so it's pretty easy to aftermarket install those things over time.
Right.
Now, you can't just magic yourself up the added build space, of course.
Right. This is true. I wouldn't necessarily, if you did get the Ender 3 V2, I wouldn't necessarily just upgrade it right out of the box, learn it first, then do the upgrades.
A lot of people are going to have the same issues with the Ender 3 if they don't want to learn. I mean, the Ender 3, you do have to level the bed, and you have to do that on your first print. You got to do that probably on your fourth print and intermittently here and there. But those are the same people that the first time something breaks on any of them, they're not going to do crap.
That's right.
So.
And if you're that kind of person, go for the CR10 Smart Pro.
And that's how I end up seeing 3D printers on Facebook Marketplace that are like $80, and it's like, oh, it doesn't print. It's I don't have time to troubleshoot it and figure it out. And it's like an Ender 3 V2. I should have just waited, or somebody picked up an Ender 3 Pro that had been upgraded a lot, and then didn't know how to do anything with it. Because they got it secondhand and something broke and they sold it.
Right. Yep. And my favorite on those two, you can probably pick that one up and have it running in about 15 minutes because you know what you're doing. It, 3D printing is just not ready for you to buy one for your mom and have her just print stuff out on it automatically. Even with a more modern one, there's still a. Like the one I have now, there's still a learning curve. If you don't slice it right, like One thing I noticed, this is the funniest thing. The default settings in the app printed everything on a raft. It took me a second or two to figure out, hey, I just want a brim. You know, a skirt.
Rafts can only be useful if you really have a lot of trouble with your bed.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, there was a need for it before printers with either a BL Touch or an ABL, you know, one of those two, and heated beds. Well, not so much anymore, I think, you know. I don't typically use a raft or brim, but I will say that
if I have a narrow print and I'm doing PETG, I'm going to have a brim.
Yes, because those you'll need that for the bed adhesion. But it's like I got one. Actually, I got a brim running on the one the one drawer I'm printing on the new one right now. That was because the first time I printed that particular STL on there, it did warp. So, but I almost want to try go back and reslice it without the brim, just to see if I do an auto level sequence before. See that there's one difference that this does, and I think this might be with either the CR Touch or the BL Touch. It's essentially the same device. I've seen many printers with the auto leveling sensors of sorts run through that sequence every print. I don't think you need to do that. I would definitely do it, like if you're doing something big and large. Like I can, I gotta sit there and calculate how much filament I need, but I should be able to print the Mandalorian helmet in one print. It'd be a very long multi-day print, but I can do it in one print. The other thing, kind of cool things with the app is you don't even have to be on your own home network. It uses the cloud for the camera, so you can check your print from anywhere. I was able to check a print from a church or just at the grocery store or something like that. And you can send the command to stop it.
Are you supposed to be paying attention in church and not worrying about your printing?
And I agree, but this is after the service, dude. And you also got to remember, too, a lot of times I'm not sitting and paying as much attention as I can to the service itself because I'm sitting there directing cameras. So I've been doing a lot of that lately. In fact, I did that for Easter, and actually the last two or three Sundays I've been doing double duty, where I would go back and do the cameras, and then someone would come back and relieve me on the switcher, and I'd run out and take pictures of the baptisms. So, in fact, I got baptism pictures I got to get edited yet, as well as was shooting slow-mos, but then I thought, why am I doing that? And I could just shoot a 4K video and then make the slow-mo from that. So that's why how I'm going to do the slow-mos from now on. Because then I could do both. But with one camera, too. But anywho, but you know, those are the kind of cool things you can do with it. I think it uses Thingiverse for its database of files that you can look for when you're trying to do a cloud slice. There might be a way that you can upload the STL as well from the app or from a web browser too. Haven't tried that yet from the web browser, but I have sent prints to it. Like I found a Mandalorian Mythosaur skull that I printed this morning.
Yeah, that's definitely on Thingiverse.
Yep. But,
I
should have scaled it up. It's about keychain size.
Well, you can always scale it up now and print it again.
That's just true. But one kind of annoying thing with the app is that if you already have G-code on your SD card, you cannot go into the SD card from the app and print the pre-sliced stuff that you have on there. That would be supremely useful. the main control itself is actually a touch screen. It's not the same as the that tablet thing that Creality has now that runs Clipper. It's not the same thing. It's completely different. It's just a touch screen, very similar to what the newer Enders have, that touch screen. Although it does landscape instead of a portrait. Very easy to work with. I can start a print with three taps on the screen on the printer, and it's much easier to start prints on it than dealing with this with the wheel that's on my CR10 Mini.
Oh yeah, since I hooked up that Android phone, that's all I use to start a print. Now, I make sure that the prints are on the Android phone, so if like the network goes down or something, it's not going to stop the print.
Right. Yep. But generally, I am really enjoying this new one. I highly recommend it if you want a nice print. Oh, one other thing feature it has that's really, really super nice on it is it has a light built into the top bar. If go to view the camera on it, it will automatically turn that light on. It doesn't keep the light on all the time, which is also nice, but it's nice.
I got a bar light. It is for a laptop.
Mm-hmm.
Like clips onto the top of a laptop and it's just a bar, LEDs, that plugs in over USB. And I plugged that in and it works really well.
Yep. I need to do something similar with. I did buy like a under counter bar, but I could not figure out a way to get the damn thing mounted to the printer. So what I might do for my other one is go get some of those LED strip lights and put a strip of LEDs on it and
call it good.
Yep. Because it's really handy to have a light on the build surface when you're trying to look. You're trying to see, is it failing?
When I had my enclosure, I had a set of USB strip lights in there.
Yeah. Yeah, because sometimes really you need cheap, that light. You need the light to look at the print and see if you should stop the print before you waste any more plastic. To see if it's warping or something,
You want to know a little early if you're making spaghetti or not.
That's true.
To know what's for dinner.
Yes. Spaghetti is not something I want to eat for dinner most days anyway. The filament dryer, I don't really have the space in my area for me to be able to print directly from the dryer when still running, I think. I may be able to do it if I rejigger some things over there, because that might be something I want to do with Thread Transparent that I've had forever, because I'd love to finish the roll and try a different transparent and see if I can find another transparent red that doesn't suck.
Is it PETG?
No, it's PLA.
Because I have a roll of PETG, and that I just told you a little bit ago was...
Right.
Transparent. It turns out it's transparent red.
Right. And transparent anything, because I do like the transparent filaments, because it really makes an interesting effect when you're printing with them. Even if it's the colored ones, but it's like I've not had a good roll luck. Of any of it. Any luck with any of it.
Well, hopefully the dryer helps.
Yeah, we'll see. As long as I have, I have gotten it down, there's probably maybe 200 or 300 grams on it now, I think. I don't remember how big that roll is, but I do like the holder on the new printer as well. It actually has bearings in the holder, so it really glides as it's feeding out. So, and
oh, the one that came with it?
Yes, the one that came with it, yep.
It's actually a fairly common practice.
Yep. My old one didn't. My old one's just a piece of plastic sticking out. But granted, it's pretty old, too, when you think about it. Like 2018, 2019 is when I got that one. So lots of improvements between then and now. So, I think if I try to do the Mando helmet, I'm probably going to order a specific roll for that. I might see if I can get a 2-kilogram roll. Versus the normal ones, so that way I may run not have an issue running out, because it does have a run out sensor, and it does actually start pretty easily after a run out condition happens. That happened when they send a roll of white filament with the printer for you to get started with, and that I use that roll up pretty quickly.
It don't give you very much.
No, it's not even. It's not even half a roll. It's not even half a roll. But, and I also found there were some issues with the slicing of some of their the included models, the included G code.
Best ones.
The mine came with a rabbit.
A did candy it come with dish. The owl?
No, it did not. I kind of wish it did. But no, it came with a rabbit, a candy dish, and it says flower pot, but it's a vase. Those last two are vase modes. So, and the candy dish one, for some reason, they sliced it with a broom. Doesn't really need it, but they sliced it with a broom. And I think there was some issues with the bottle because it was very, very like thinner than it should be in places. For a vase mode print. So, you know, they were the included G code. You don't, you might archive them and maybe you pull it out later, but for me, I'd rather find the same model and reslice it myself. So, and that's the other thing too with the cloud slicing, things like tree support. Which is really very nice if you've tree support's the way to go for almost
comes
everything.
Comes off easier, it doesn't like underneath everything.
Mm-hmm. It does have different
It tries types to start from the bed whenever it can.
Right. But the cloud slicing does have different types of support, but it doesn't have tree. Or actually, I have to double check it.
Tree's no longer beta.
I know tree's no longer beta, you know, but they may call it, like, I think Prusa calls it organic, if I remember right. So different slicers might call it different things. I'm not exactly sure what slicing engine that they're using in the app. It's Creality's Creality shit, what they call it.
I don't know.
Creality Cloud version 5 is what it is. So
basically you let everybody else slice it for you?
No, it slices from the cloud. So it's not everything's pre-sliced, and when you pick an STL file via the app,
the cloud is somebody else's computer.
True.
So you're just letting somebody else slice it for you.
But you can go in the app and you can choose the slicing parameters. Like I was able to adjust the temperature for the filament that I use, and so on and so forth. So, its interface has a lot to be desired, in my opinion. It could be simpler, but it does work. So there's that, and it's something that you know. There's not if you want a lot of the features of Octoprint, you don't want to have to go. Find a Raspberry Pi something or something compatible to set up Octoprint on it. This is probably the way to go. And the Creality Wi-Fi box is not expensive. I think it's like $100 maybe. So you can add it to pretty much. I think you can probably add it to any RepRap printer. I think it would work with any of them. So there is a premium subscription that's like $39 a year for the app. You don't really need it. The free version is just fine.
But it's so, premium.
It's premium. I tried to, and I actually had to look directly at it to see what makes it premium. You know,
you're paying for it. That's what makes it premium.
Oh, and, well, actually, I was like, speaking of paying for it, there is a system in it. So some of the models you actually have to pay for in the Creality tokens. But like, you can get like 700 tokens for like $2. So I mean, it's not expensive. But so there is. I think that's how they're supporting hosting of some of the models. Especially
hopefully, that's making it back
free.
To some of the designers.
That too. Yeah. Well, actually, in the app, you can directly submit designs of your own. So, and they have like a point system kind of thing. So you get kind of points for submitting it, and there's levels. They're trying to like gamify 3D printing a little bit with that. I don't
gamify
know why.
Gamify and not pay.
Yeah. So, but, so there's that. Yeah, you know, it's the app. I didn't buy it because the app was there. I bought it because of all the other things. But it's a nice to have thing.
There I am talking smack, and I've never bought a 3D print.
Right. You know, I'm trying to think if the Mando helmet. I think I got it from Cults 3D. Maybe I think I might have paid for the STL.
$2, $10.
Maybe. Yeah, it wasn't expensive. Yeah. Considering that Disney can probably come back at them, but and I did watch the Mando finale.
I have not.
I've seen on Twitter where there's a lot of people that thought it was a letdown. I enjoyed
Most
it.
Most people are saying that the whole season was a letdown.
Yeah, which I disagree with as well. I mean, is it as good as season 2? No. For sure. I mean, it's hard to beat season 2.
It's hard to beat season 1.
That too. I mean, season 1 was really good too.
Right. You know, you can't season be 2 that good all the time without, you know, completely destroying Star Wars.
I mean, you get season 2 and you have the CGI Luke, you know, and
right.
I was very pleased with the season this year. We'll see. Now, I will say this. Did you get caught up on Picard?
Me? No.
Okay.
I'm like three seasons behind.
Are there
the
last
only
episode?
Three seasons, Joe. That means you haven't
That's
seen
what
the
I'm
damn
telling
episode.
You.
That's right. The
Hold
last
on a second.
Episode
Hold on a second.
Is tomorrow.
You know what frosts my Pop-Tart about The Mandalorian? And
what about it?
To be fair, I'm enjoying season 3. The last couple of episodes I very much enjoyed. It's the proliferation of the megafauna on a planet that could not sustain the megafauna.
Yeah.
And it's like, what?
How so?
I
haven't seen it yet.
Oh, you haven't seen any of the Mandalorian?
Did you see the finale, Dan?
Oh, I didn't watch it yet this week.
Oh, that's what I thought you were talking about. Like, because I haven't seen last week's episode or this week's episode.
Like, they set up camp right next to the water where there's giant alligator-like creatures in the
Okay,
yeah.
And it's like, why would you set up your camp there? What the hell is that creature eating? Because it's a desert planet. There ain't anything else around that is, except for the giant bird that it ate, or the bird dragon.
Well,
those
things were supposed to sleep for long periods of time. They conserve their energy, and then they wake up like every couple of hundred years and eat townspeople.
You're gonna have the same thoughts about Mandalore in the finale because there's
I saw
one
last
scene
week's,
that
last week's had a bunch of megafauna in there too, and I'm like, come on, really? The planet was destroyed.
Yep.
When they went to Mandalore, that was a giant.
There's things I want to say that I won't say, because there's one thing you're going to think, well, that was a letdown. Because after I thought about it, it is a letdown. During one of the fights in the the last episode, but I did like how they ended it. The very last scene was very funny to me.
So this week's episode is the season finale?
Yeah, they only had eight episodes this season.
No, they normally have eight episodes.
I think you're right, but but see, you got Ahsoka coming out.
I'm surprised you don't have a Bo show.
Yeah. For Picard though, the penultimate episode last week was so phenomenal. For if you were a TNG fan, you will love it.
What does Riker show up? Worf show
Riker,
up?
Riker's the whole crew's back together at this point in the season. But I don't want to ruin that because the very last scene I've already watched four times. That's how good it was. It hopefully it ends off with a bang. Friend and I, at work, we've been chatting every Friday usually. Because Sal watched it at the gym. He doesn't watch it until Thursday night. And last Friday, we were thinking that Picard may not make it out of this episode, this last episode. His Andor might die.
Jesus Christ, let the guy retire.
Right? But...
did retire, but apparently there's these... universe destroying catastrophes that only he can solve.
Right.
I was talking about Patrick Stewart.
Oh.
Yeah. Well,
unless they magically make him young again and have somebody else play him.
Now there's something annoying with fandom that's really pissing me off. There's all this fandom that's saying, oh, they're gonna make a Star Trek Legacy series. I'm like, where the hell did you hear that from? It certainly wasn't from Paramount. It certainly wasn't from Paramount. So
look, if it can make money and it's got Star Trek in the name, they're probably going to make it.
Well, they are making a movie. Section 31 is a movie, not a series now. With Michelle Yeoh.
For what?
Like, Section 31, Starfleet Section 31. It's all about the Black Ops section of Starfleet.
I don't know. Is that going to do any good?
I'm kind of there with you because it's going to be set in the Discovery universe, at the same time period as Discovery is in now, which is like in the future, past Picard and everything. So,
is Discovery any good?
Not the last few seasons have been pretty stinkers. They're gonna cry all season, right? Or you have some dark matter thing, DMA.
I kind of get the feeling if them putting out this Star Trek would be like if they put out a Star Wars movie that didn't have the Empire or the First Order or the Rebels in it, and you'd be like,
well,
what's the fucking point?
Celebration too. I mean, there's going to be another trilogy with Rey in it.
Well, I don't get why odd. Star Trek is doing something without like something completely different, it just seems odd. There's nothing. What is bootstrapping this movie?
Section 31 movie?
Yeah.
Discovery, because Section 30, the first season of Discovery had Section 31 as the nemesis at the end. That's why they ended up leaping to a different universe.
Wait, what is Section 31?
Section 31 is Starfleet's Black Ops section.
You're making
remember
a movie about the bad guys?
No. Black Ops doesn't mean bad guys. It's your secret ops people.
Your people stuff that's been banned.
Right, yeah. Yeah, like violating Prime Directive.
Is, But you said that they were kind of the reason Discovery jettisoned themselves across the universe.
Yep.
So were this they the bad guys in there?
I don't think Section 31 itself was the bad guys, but the AI that ran control was. So
it was a difference of opinion of what constitutes torture. I have no idea. I haven't actually watched the show.
Probably right.
Yeah, well, but, whatever.
Yeah, I'm not uber excited about Discovery. I am more excited about Strange New Worlds coming out. June is when it's coming out. June 15th or 16th, I think it is. And
You know what you should be excited about, or should have been excited about?
What, Beavis and Butthead tomorrow?
No. Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Among Thieves.
Oh, the movie. I am so tired of hearing about that.
Phenomenal movie. It was so good.
Was it? Because everybody is like back and forth awesome. Telling me how horrible it is.
Oh, no, man. It was awesome. If you haven't played Dungeons & Dragons and you like
I
Dungeons
did.
& Dragons, you're going to love
didn't.
This movie. It was great. It was,
it was
a blast.
And like,
Mom
the first
said
D&D
it was
movie,
a devil.
The first D&D movie was pretty good. And then the second D&D movie with, I think it was one of the Wayans brothers, was hot
awful.
Garbage.
Wait, what first D&D new movie are you talking about?
One from, like, what, 2008? 2010? Somewhere in that time frame.
Yep.
It was a while ago.
Well, I thought the first one had the Wayans brothers in it.
No, I thought that was the second one.
First one probably had nobodies in it.
No, the one in 2000 was the first one, had Marlon Wayans in it.
Okay, maybe I'm thinking
maybe
of the wrong
one.
It's been a while.
Dude, I'm telling you, if you like the first one, you are really going to like this one. Because this one is like, I think they nailed it. Like,
Dungeons & Dragons film series, the first one was 2008. Let me take a look at that one.
Right.
No, first one was 2000.
None, I've never played Dungeons & Dragons at all. I know the concepts. I've played role-playing games before, but I've never played Dungeons and Dragons.
I don't know if you know this, Joe. It's not really a spoiler, but the characters from the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon are in this movie.
Really?
Yeah. It's crazy.
I know, I liked the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon, but that is like 30 years old, 40 years old?
Yeah.
What?
50?
Yeah, but they're in this movie, man. They have it's a blast, man. It's such a good time, man. I enjoyed it so much.
So you're saying there was a lot of fan service?
Out. Yeah, there's
a lot of
fan
service.
Absolutely.
1983 to 1985, and they're in it. Are they like live action in it or?
Yes, live action.
Oh,
interesting. Probably yes. Not the same actors.
Well, obviously not, because they were cartoons.
That's right.
Or animated. So there were no.
Or
I mean,
the same voice.
No, right. Oh, you know who wasn't in it? Uni wasn't in it.
The unicorn?
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, it was.
But it had the Dungeon Master.
No, Dungeon
Hank,
Master wasn't
Eric.
In it. It had Hank, Eric,
Deanna,
Bobby.
Presto.
Yep.
Sheila.
Who?
Sheila.
Was she the thief? Yeah.
Yep.
It was a good time, man. Even my youngest really enjoyed it.
Yep.
Sometimes she loses interest in movies, but she didn't lose interest.
I got some new stuff for the kitchen, Dan.
What'd you get?
I got three more Lodge cast iron pans.
Dan, with all those pans, what are you going to do? Is that what you eat your McDonald's from Uber Eats out of?
No, I cook, I did chili in the, or not chili, tacos in the one pan the other day.
Uber Eats was showing up.
13-inch and an 8-inch and a griddle.
Double stuff.
Which actually, the griddle was I probably will use the griddle tomorrow because I think I got some keto pancakes that I'll make for dinner. Yeah, I'm gonna have pancakes for dinner, so be quiet.
Is the griddle
wrong with that?
Is the griddle is it like a large rectangle where on the one side it's flat and on the other side it's rigid?
No, it's rigid round.
For your pleasure. Your pleasure.
Yeah, okay. It's round that it doesn't have a big thick brim around it. You know, it's just a small brim around it.
How thick
is it? Kind of like I would say it's probably between
quarter
I'd
inch.
Say it's probably a quarter inch, yeah.
Okay.
About that.
Okay. Cuz like I have one that is a rectangle and on the one side it's like flat and it has like a raised rim and on the other it's raised.
No.
Yeah.
And I used to have a grill all the time for like burgers and stuff and
I got
I have a couple like
that too.
Like Dan or like ahead. Joel is talking about where it's flat on the top and on the bottom and it's just got a little lip around the edge.
Yeah,
mine's
that's exactly
round.
What it is.
Mine's not the round one.
Okay. Yeah. See, I have that when you talk about that kind of cast iron griddle, Dan, I have that. In fact, that's in my camping gear. And hopefully it's not rusted.
No, the problem with those quarter inch pans with the narrow sides is that they warp easy.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. Especially at the temps you usually cook with cast iron with, you know, like screaming hot usually. But
all right, work is calling. I'll get back to you guys in just a minute.
Okay. But yeah, I got this set. Sam's Club had it for like $50, dude.
That's not bad, man. That's great.
No.
That's cool. You can't beat that.
Nope. Yeah, and I've been looking for now. Now I think if I got like a couple good stock pots or a stock pot in a Dutch oven, I think if I got a Dutch oven, I would want a cast iron one, but I would want it with enamel on it because you can get the cast iron with the enamel. So I might look at that, and then I might get some new stock pots as well as I want to wok. I don't have a good wok anymore.
What do you need your stock pot for?
Like when I'm making soup and stuff, like if I'm making a carcass, turkey soup or something, I'll put the carcass in that pot and then I'll just fill it up with water to make a stock, you know?
Because I just use my,
You can probably use a
pressure
Dutch oven
cooker
too, but
for making stock all the time.
Yeah, actually, you know what? That's a good idea too, because I got an Instapot, so, but. Because
since I started using my pressure cooker, like, I don't use my stock pot for anything.
Right.
Now I use I have a 7.5 quart Dutch oven, and that's what I make like my soups and chilies and stuff.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
And then I have an enameled 5 quart, I believe it is.
Because
I have two of those.
Gonna probably toss all of the cookware I have, other than that kind of stuff, once I get those few pieces. I have a double boiler. I'll keep that. And I might keep, I think I have a couple of saucepans that are in that same set. But, like, the main fry pan was coated in nonstick. And that nonstick is, like, gone to shit, you know? So, even with using plastic spatulas and stuff. So
it still wears out sooner or later.
Yeah, I'm not gonna buy nonstick anymore at all. Yeah, it seemed like a good idea in the 80s and the 90s, but not so much anymore.
Yeah,
it works out for a little while.
My nonstick pan got ruined by my kids, and I never use it anymore. And like my cast iron stuff is so seasoned.
It's so great too.
Fine.
It's like you just scrape all the dirt off of it, wipe it out, and it's pretty much done. You know, depending on how bad it was. You know, sometimes you get stuff that sticks still. You know, but It's the only pan I have that my 10-inch one has continually gotten better as I cook more with it. And that's just not the case for any other pan. So I'm a huge fan of the cast iron stuff. So
where are the other straps?
Yeah, I got a stainless steel pan from Meissen. It was really nice. But
right. It's
like, it's kind of like the non-stick thing where they're like, don't use metal utensils in it. Be careful how you treat it. And I'm like, you know, I was listening to a Stella Culinary podcast and Chef Jacob Burton on there was talking. And they're like, you know, somebody wrote in a question about what do you think of like copper pans and all those things. And he's like, you know what? I don't bother with that shit. He's like,
it's gimmicky.
He just says he just orders the cheapest Amazon like aluminum pans with a decent bottom and
Amazon
stuff like
basics.
That. Yeah, and he's like, you just use them until they wear out and you throw them out. You don't have to worry about like
pay $16 to $20.
You don't have to worry about treating them more gentle than your kids and everything. It's like, right. it's not worth it. It's not worth it. And they don't cook any different than anything else.
Well, okay. The flat pans that I was talking about, if you get like a bad batch or the really thin ones or something, they will start bending up at the corners really quickly. And yeah, you can bend them back into shape, but then you're going to end up with hot spots and cool spots. One side will cook better than the other. One corner won't cook your freaking French toast at all. Yeah.
Yep.
But then it's time to get a new pan.
Yep. But, yeah, I'm pretty much sold on cast iron. My mom never liked it because I think she just wanted stuff that she could just throw in a damn dishwasher and be done with it.
Yeah.
They're
not going to do that right with the cast iron. Oh, why have the cast iron?
Nope. So it's like I was talking about that, and someone's like, "Yeah, I use my grandma's that she passed down to me," and I'm like, "Yeah."
You should find that guy on YouTube that polishes cast iron.
Wait, is that the same guy that does the old toys too?
Maybe I don't know, but yeah. Polishes cast iron, like makes it shiny.
Ooh, I don't know if I'd like that or not.
He does it because people hate it.
Right. Well, because basically ruining it, you're getting rid of the seasoning. It's like what everyone, I'm in a Pit Boss group on Facebook, Dan, and people are like, well, what do I clean out my grill with? I'm like, nothing. You get rid of the seasoning. That smoke and black stuff on the side of that grill is what makes the meat taste better. I mean, the only cleaning I do in my Pit Boss is I'll clean the grates, and I'll about every third or fourth cook, I will take a wet-dry shop vac and suck out all the ash out of the bottom of it, and that's it.
I'm going to have to kill this print because all it's doing is clicking and I don't see any filament coming out.
Oh no, you got a clog.
Click, 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 click.
Know that one too well.
What were you printing?
A drawer.
A drawer?
Yeah. Just like a mini whole drawer? Like a mini. Or a little mini drawer stack. I don't know what you call it.
That's the kind of cool thing with the CR10 smudge, as it has a drawer for you to put your tools in, like your crosscuts and stuff like that
as well.
Oh yeah, I know it does, but my other one didn't have that, so so I still count it. I might actually, I have found the Pac-Man cookie cutters on Thingiverse. I might make those and then try making some cookies, sugar cookies.
Yeah, as long as you throw them away when you're done.
Well, either throw them away or don't put them in the dishwasher, because they will melt.
No, you don't even want to wash them by hand. You want to throw them away because of the holes that are
stuff
in the plastic. And
you make an excellent point.
Or food particles, and it will mold. So you can make a cookie cutter, but it's good for one round of cookies.
Yep.
Or one day's worth of cookies, and then you throw it away the next day.
Right. Good point.
Unless you want to seal it with, like, polypropylene or something.
Sounds like work.
It is.
Yes.
More work than I want to do.
Yeah. But, yeah. To the filament dryer, we'll see how well it works when I get around to printing some red stuff. I probably will soon, because I think I want to go back and find. I found a good box that had. It's basically designed for a little small Ouchie Boo Boo first aid kit, and it has two pieces, or actually total of three pieces. The two halves of the box, and then the top has a insert that you can print to print the cross in a different color, like white, you know, so it can be red and white. So, which is a good color for a first aid kit. So I think that's, I might want to print one of those so that I can stick that in my travel gear. And I actually wouldn't mind printing a frog box in that color either. Not that I need to print more frog boxes. I got a bunch saved up. I'm probably going to use them as a part of my... my department does a white elephant gift thing. So I'll probably have one of what's going to go as my white elephant... with me when I go to Reston and give it to my boss so that they can use it, and then they'll just send me, or I'll just get my part of the gift when I see them the next time. But my thought was to stuff that thing full of like candy or something, and that would be one of those hot things that gets swapped around in the white elephant.
All the candy gets stolen.
Yeah. So... But yeah, I do that. That's one of my favorite things I've printed in the last year is them frog boxes. So handy for organizing. But yeah, you might also have seen a long while ago I printed those hexagonal storage bin things. If you look up on Thingiverse, the Hive storage,
yeah,
then you'll see which one what I'm talking about. I don't like those as much as I like these cubes I've done. So the only thing I don't like about them is the way they are is they have grooves on two sides, and they're the two opposite sides. And then they have the opposite, the male version of the groove on the other two sides. So that means the bottom will alternate between the male and the female sides. So if you don't have a right, like a even number of cubes in that run, then the bottom will not sit level. So... And the nice thing is you can just print another one, you know, just print them one by one, and then they're fine. And I'm only print, like, I could probably fit two of each piece on the print bed, but that would be, like, you know, we're talking, like, a day print.
Yeah, 24-hour prints are fun.
Yeah, I tend to want to stay away from those if I can, or, and if I'm doing it put it this way. If I'm printing it something smaller, I'd rather just print one of it and be able to print multiple jobs of one of it than...
Yeah, well,
a big long 24 hours. Yeah,
I get what you're saying there. I do.
Right.
The thing about that, you know... Yeah, you can put 10 of them on there and let it all print out, and
right.
That's nice. But you know, if you get an error in the middle, guess what? You got 10 that don't work.
That's right. That's the other point too. Now, we'll say I did print multiples for the knobs on it, and I also, for the first time, successfully used a one at a time mode, where basically we'll print one.
Yeah,
and then go on to the next one. It works pretty nice. It's a little faster. Yeah, you
have the spacing out. But...
Well, yes. Yes, like on my CR10 Mini, I could only do three. On the Smart Pro, I could do four of the knobs before I ran out of space. Because when you do one at a time, it has to be able to have an area that the printhead can move that is not going to bang into the other print. So, luckily, the software figures it out for you when you're slicing it. So, but that also limits how many. You can put more on the build surface. Like, I can probably put, like, 30 of them on either of the build surfaces easy. But it would take... One, it would take longer for all 30... And again, the same other problem that Joe just talked about, where if you have a failure, you're going to ruin all of them. So, but, oh yeah, and I think I mentioned the runout, this also, the new one has a runout sensor too, and it works pretty well, restarts things fairly well. There's still going to be inert, where it restarts. So.
When does the power off one?
Right.
Sensor. And, okay. Honestly, with the power off, I'm not going to use it.
Right.
Too many things.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's going to be an issue. I mean, yeah. it's going to be imperfect, so.
I mean, I have enough issues when I'm just swapping filament. Yeah, there's a process for it, but, you know, if you push too hard while you're trying to
get everything
into position, then, well... You could get a whole row of blob.
Or two.
Exactly. You offset it accidentally down because you're pushing it in.
Yeah.
And it screws it up.
Yep. I haven't tried color swapping yet on the new one yet. It'll probably work a little bit better than the old one because you don't really have to push too hard since it's direct drive. All you have to do is get it to catch, and it'll start feeding.
Yeah, which means that you can... You still have to run it through when you're switching colors long enough for the old stuff to get gone.
Yeah. It does have a neural dial.
Purge.
That you can push it down into the hot end with it. So, there's that. But... Yeah, I generally don't have too much success with the power off stuff. I usually punt and just start again.
Yeah, I mean, with the power off stuff, hopefully it gets back to the right temperature. Hopefully your stuff hasn't, you know, expanded, contracted in interesting ways. Hopefully. But yeah, so I'm just going to start over.
Yep. Oh, depends what you're printing. That's why, like, if I go to print a Mando helmet, I'm gonna make sure that I have the largest roll of filament I can put on that thing, so that I don't run out.
Well, you can also fuse filament.
Yeah, true.
Fuse two rolls together. As long as you got a drill and you can 3D print a spool roller, you can put two spools together. Call it a day.
Yep. Next, and I always thought that my next printer would have been the CR30, but the more and more I thought about it, I thought, no.
I know that that new one, what was it called? The one that came out that's not from Creality.
The White Knight.
Hub where you can put in you can hook up a whole bunch of different ones and have like 16 different filaments and have it automatically switch between the filaments.
I know what you're talking about, the palette. Well, there's the palette 2, but that can be added to any printer, but maybe you're talking about Prusa's multi-print stuff?
Oh, no, it's not Prusa. It's another, that new company that just came out a couple of months ago.
Bamboo,
there you go. With their multi spool functionality.
I ain't gonna lie, I am jealous and I do want a Bamboo printer, but I ain't spending $1,000 on it.
Yeah, me either.
It's like,
automatically switching freaking filament sounds really cool, but you know what? I'm not willing to pay for it.
And I always said I wanted a dual print head printer too, and I still don't have one of those yet either.
Me either.
Because I like the concept of running a roll of PVA with a roll of PLA. That way, when you're done, you can just stick the print in a water bucket and melt the supports off. But I've read and heard too many things.
Well, and yeah. Yep. I know a lot of people say that it's really good, the being able to just, you know, run it under the water and get rid of your supports, which, believe me, that sounds incredible.
Right.
But, yeah, am I willing to pay for it?
No. I don't think so. But, all right. Almost 10 o'clock, man.
Yeah.
We got important things tomorrow. Ubuntu Lunar Lobster comes out tomorrow.
It's 4:20 tomorrow, huh?
Yeah, it's 4:20.
There you go.
And they,
Joel will be high.
They also are going to have new episodes of Beavis and Butthead tomorrow. That's a perfect day for them to launch that show. But again, I don't know what they're calling it, but the second season of the new version of Beavis and Butthead.
Oh, they already had one season of the new version?
Yeah, they did.
Did it actually have music?
Funny you mention that. I think it did. Oh, no. What they did, instead of the old school thing, when they used to play the videos and they would, comment on the videos as they were watching the music videos. Now, this time they did YouTube videos. Like, they did a GB ASMR video. And it was hilarious.
I bet.
And they did another one of I'm trying to remember. There's one with a bunch of farm animals in it, but it and there's a you just have to watch it.
It's nearly as puerile as it was before.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why it's funny. You know. But they did a lot of that, and then in one of the episodes they did they saw these two chicks in front of rooms, breakout room things, where you had to find your way out of the room.
Escape room,
thank you. Yeah. And they asked them if they would do it, and they're like, sure. So while the girls were paying for it, they walked back and they thought they were going into the escape room, but they actually went into the bathroom. And they couldn't figure out that you had to pull the door to get out. So they thought they were in the escape room. Oh. So there's that one, and then they also do some episodes where they're old, like
As old as they would be?
Yeah, well, like senior citizen old, like a butthead is has to walk with a walker and stuff like that, you know. But they're still, it's like they're adults, but mentally they're still teenagers. So, but and then it all hinged off of the fact that in the movie they made a leap in time from like the 90s to now. The second movie, yes, there was a second Beavis and Butthead movie.
There was a first one.
Yeah, Do America. Don't you remember that one?
No. You want to know why I don't remember it?
You didn't watch it. I know.
I didn't watch it.
Anywho. It's hilarious, man. It's hilarious hilarity.
I could barely make it through an episode of Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Oh, my God. I love Aqua Teen Hunger Force. They're number one in the hood, Joe. Come on.
That's what I heard.
Number one in the hood. That's funny. That is funny.
All right. We gotta play us out of here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't they rename Aqua Teen Hunger Force to something else? Like for the last couple of seasons?
I don't think they did. Not that I'm aware of.
The only thing I remembered about Aqua Teen Hunger Force was the little digital dude. I don't remember his name, but they made electronic panels and hid them all over Boston, I think it was.
Yeah.
Or something in real life.
Yep. Hold on, what happened? Shake character.
Yep.
Shake Carl. Oh, okay.
Moon and Knight.
Ignignock and the Moon Knight.
The Moon and Knights, yes.
Yeah. Put two and two together and realize you're pissing me off. Alright, let's play this. Let's play this out here. We'll see you guys in a week. Here are your promos. Enjoy.
I am short.
Oh my God.
It's Hacker
Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
My name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? With my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
Get over.
While you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
That was 2007, the Moony Night Panic. Damn, I'm old.
2007 what?
In 2007, there was a guerrilla marketing campaign for Aqua Teen Hunger Force where they put Lunar Knights and LED Lunar Knights all over the city of Boston, and people thought they were bombs.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember what they changed their name to. I could have sworn they changed their name. Oh. But I'm also trying to get stuff to 3D print, lifting heavy things.
Lifting heavy things.
My coworker just told me that she has a severe family issue that she needs to go take care of starting tomorrow. Oh, so wonderful. No idea when she's coming back. It's all valid and everything, but yeah, it does suck.
Mm-hmm.
And she asked me how I wanted her to put it into our tracking system. And, you know, it's like, well, for now, put it in as vacation, but talk to HR and try and get, there are other types of paid time off that you can get.
It's like, I was in an incident for a good chunk of the day trying to recover a client. And then I get to the end of that, and I find out the guy who was on call, he had to go, so that he had to put an override in for the rest of the day. I can get it with him, though, because his wife has cancer, so my guess is that she was throwing up and stuff, and he had to help her.
Oof. Guess what? January 2023, Aqua Teen Hunger Force is getting another 5 episodes.
Yeah!
Seriously?
It was announced that it's getting 5 more episodes.
So more Master Shake, Frylock, Meatwad.
And yes, they did have another one. There was a feature-length film, Aqua Teen Forever, Phantasm, but that was the movie.
Yeah. That,
Aqua Teen Hunger Force, colon, movie.
MCP Pants.
Are those...
All right. Okay. We're good to go with episode 1001. Almost. How's your week been going, Pat?
Long. Dragging out.
How's the band coming along?
Good. Rehearsing, getting more songs.
That's great. What are some of the songs that you're doing right now? Like you're planning on doing?
What we're currently doing, I'll tell you what we're doing. We're doing Priest. We're doing, you got another thing coming. We're going to be doing Painkiller. We're going to be doing Victim of Changes. We're going to be doing Electric Eye. We're doing Maiden Revelations. We're going to do How Be Thy Name. Metallica, we do Master of Puppets, For Whom the Bell Tolls. We might do Sanitarium or One. We're doing Ozzy, Crazy Train, Mr. Crowley. We're doing Black Sabbath with Dio, Children of the Sea.
Okay.
We're doing a couple AC/DC songs. We're doing Dirty Deeds Done Too Cheap. We're doing Hell's Bells. What else? We're doing... I think that's it for now.
That's
we're
a lot.
Do some yeah, so, we're gonna
what
do
was
some,
the last one?
Well, the AC/DC stuff. We're probably going to do some more newer stuff, maybe some 90s stuff, like some grunge stuff, like Soundgarden or Alice in Chains.
Damn, there you go. Yeah. Now, do you have a gig lined up yet, or are you guys?
No, we don't have anything lined up yet.
Getting your.
That won't be a problem.
Yeah.
The drummer's in a classic rock band. They do like a lot of like 60s and 70s stuff. This is all like more metal stuff, classic metal.
So the drummer's in another band too, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And the bass player is in a wedding band. And the stuff that he plays, wedding band, they have to know a lot of freaking material, like 50, 60 songs. That's crazy. I don't know how the hell he remembers it. I couldn't remember it.
That is something. When do they find the time to do all this stuff?
He makes time.
Now, do they also have, like, other jobs, or is that
yeah,
their...
Yeah,
Yeah, holy moly. That's a lot of commitment.
Well, with these guys, we're only doing about once a week so far.
Okay.
And honestly, if we'd be further along. We started jamming like, it was like January, and it wasn't consistent. But I think now that we got the singer, we're moving along much quicker now. It's going to go fast now. I see his plan. We're probably going to be ready to go out in maybe a month or so.
Well, that's pretty great. Man.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun.
Good on you. Alright, let's see. I don't know how the hell Snap works in the background on this thing, but it keeps popping up like every 2 weeks about it needing to upgrade the Firefox Snap. And I'm going to assume that if I close it and then reopen it, it updates the Snap. But I have no freaking idea. What do I know? All right. I guess we should start this show off. You guys ready?
Maybe.
Maybe. We'll start the show off. Joel will probably show up because he said that.
Joel like that.
He's got a church thing on Wednesdays now, and then he's going to be late.
Every Wednesday he's going to be late because church is more important than you.
Apparently. What are you going to do? Oy, oy, oy. All right. Let me see. I don't think he sent an email stating otherwise. So we should expect to see him tonight. He got his colon worked out last week. So he probably has a lot to say about his 3D printer. We'll leave it at that. I guess he 3D printed himself a new colon.
I thought he was calling his colon a 3D printer, which I guess technically it qualifies.
Yeah. But more often than not, instead of extruding out, it pulls it back in. So he's got something not working right on that thing.
So, that does sound like a problem.
Yeah, so it's backing up. But we'll see. Once he gets it working, I'll have him send you one of his printouts.
You know, I'm good. I'm good. He can keep it.
All right. Let's do this. This is for 1001.